Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right. You can be seated. Well, good morning. And I'm glad you're here. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Oh, I'm going to have to stop introducing myself because it feels like I do it. Just say, oh, because you're so sweet. Hey, if you are a guest, man, we're honored that you're here. We're wrapping up a series today called Time Flies. And, man, if you had to pick one of the three, I think you picked the right one. And so I'm really, really glad you're here. I just really believe God's gonna do some cool stuff. He did last hour. I believe he will again. Because time is a universal struggle, right? Like even if you haven't been a part of this series, you can understand why we'd spend some time talking about time. Because as we've been saying for the last few weeks, we kind of live in this time-starved society. We never feel like we have enough, and everybody's always trying to strive and achieve and get more done, and we just get the anxiety level up higher and higher and higher. And really what we've been doing this entire series is just turning to the God of the universe and just saying, hey, man, what do you think about how we currently run our lives? And the good news is he thinks quite a lot. And he has a lot to say. And so if you're a guest today, if you don't have it already, you can download our app at some point because we put all our content there. And after we're done today, you may want to go back and hear where we've been for the last few weeks because we've really been building this series on a pretty simple idea. And the idea is this, is that we believe that God wants better than busy for our life. He wants better than that. He wants better than people who are running here and there without a chance to stop and breathe and enjoy. He wants contentment. He wants satisfaction for our souls. But even more than that, the reason God wants better than busy, it's because busy often blocks what's best. We've been talking about this for a few weeks, and that we have this enemy. His name, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him. Nobody likes to talk about him, but he's very real, and he hates our guts. And his primary goal is to get us to turn our back on God and to live a life of what God would call sin, just doing things that are harmful because that leads to guilt and shame, and he's just the worst. And so he enjoys torturing people. He enjoys making people's lives miserable. Well, for many of us in the room, you know, we consider ourselves Christ followers. We want to do what God wants us to do. We try to avoid sin. And so Satan developed a new tactic. We've been talking about it for a few weeks, and I don't really love the way I have to say it, but it works. If Satan can't make us bad, he'll make us busy. And that's where I think many of us find ourselves. We have said yes to so many good things that we find ourselves sometimes missing the best things. And so that's why we need our King to give us instructions. And so this entire series, we've been asking a question. We've been saying, hey, God, is this choice, this committee, this task, this commitment, is this the best use of this time in my life? And last week, we kind of flipped this question, and we made it a little clearer by changing it to, God, is this the wisest use of this time? We talked about wisdom last week. Wisdom is this great gift that God gives us, and it's unique to every single person based on our past experiences, our current circumstances, our future hopes and dreams. We learned to let all that filter in as we're talking to God. Say, okay, what is the wise choice in this moment? And last week, if you were here, I kind of gave you a homework assignment, and I hope you did it. I challenged you to spend some time in prayer. We created a resource for you. And I really challenge you to spend some time trying to create a to-don't list. Letting God show you what are some of the good things in your life that may not be wise things that you can remove so that you have a little more breathing room in your life. I don't know if some of you did that. We've heard. We've had conversations about that. I know for others of you, you may have tried it. It may have still felt overwhelming. You may have felt confused. This whole time thing, it's a really big struggle. Specifically, depending, don't raise your hand, but depending on how type A you are, how driven you are, how important success is to you. And let me help you. Type A driven success is very important to me. Okay, so there's no judgment. Like I am speaking to us. The idea of a to-don't list and taking things off our plate, it just makes us feel weak. And man, if that made you feel weak, I got great news for you today. Because the step, I told you last week to try it, but to come back. And we were going to wrap up the series because there was one step that the God of the universe, really, there's nothing about time he's clearer on than this, what we're going to talk about today. And this is one step we can take that I believe helps give wisdom and bring clarity to the rest of our lives. And it's a step, again, unless you've attended Wellspring for a while and you know where I'm going, it's a step that probably didn't occur to you. And even when we talk about the step today, we're going to naturally want to push back. We're going to naturally have lots of questions. We're going to naturally have lots of excuses. And so, look, listen, I hear you, but we've got 29 minutes and 18 seconds together. So if we can, let's just put down the performance for a moment. And let's make some space for the God of the universe to maybe change our lives today. Maybe set us free from some things. Because the step I want to talk about, the step I want to inject into your busy, overscheduled life is rest. I believe the God of the universe gives us permission to rest. And because we don't trust him and we don't take him up on his offer, we miss out on the blessings of what he has intended for us. And I know even saying the word rest, some of you, you're fighting the twitches right now because rest is weakness and rest is for other people. And I don't need rest. With love, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And here's how I know. Because the God of the universe loves me and loves you and loves us so much that thousands of years ago on the other side of the planet, he didn't make rest optional. How many of you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Familiar with the Ten Commandments? I didn't mean the movie with Charlton Heston. Not enough people raised their hand, by the way. You've all heard of the Ten. You just don't want to raise your hand. But the Ten Commandments, we've all heard of it. Even if you don't believe in God, you've heard of the Ten Commandments, right? This is where God says things like, hey, don't murder people. Hey, don't lie. Hey, don't steal. Hey, don't commit adultery. Hey, don't covet, right? The top 10 of the things he gave as he was establishing his nation of Israel. If you consider yourself a Christ follower, you probably know what the Ten Commandments are. You probably would never dream of breaking a Ten Commandment, not intentionally. Do you know what the fourth commandment is? Sorry, I should have said don't shout out loud. But before we get to don't murder, before we get to don't steal, before we get to don't lie, the God of the universe, when he was founding the nation of Israel, giving them the bedrock upon which they were going to build a nation that he was going to use as an example to the world of, this is why you should follow me. This is the value. And at the right time, he was going to birth his son out of that nation who was going to rescue the world. Fourth commandment, before don't kill, before don't steal. He says this. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, Sabbath is a noun that we get from a verb. The verb is sabbat. The verb means to cease, to stop. That's why you've ever heard people say they're going on sabbatical. What does that mean? They're going to stop working for a season. And this command, number four, is keep the Sabbath day, the stop working day of 24 hours, keep it holy. Now that doesn't mean keep it spiritual. That doesn't mean sing songs to Jesus on the Sabbath. That's not what it means. Holy simply means set apart. It means keep it sacred. It's like whoever hosts Thanksgiving in your family. That is holy. And you find out it's holy when you try to change it. And it goes bad. That was sacred. And what the God of the universe is saying to his people and through his people to us is once a week, take a day to rest. Every single week. He keeps going. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. And on that day, no one in your household may do any work. The God of the universe commands us to stop working. He commands us to, the way I keep saying, I keep hearing it in my brain, to cease striving, to cease achieving, to cease performing. And some of you are like, if I'm not performing, striving, or achieving, I'm not breathing. I don't know what I'm doing. And I think that's the point. If any of you were parents, remember when you had, like, they weren't infants, but they weren't, like, real humans yet. They were in that quasi-toddler stage where they couldn't really communicate, but they kind of communicated. And you could see it. You could see when they were just fighting sleep and their little bodies and their eyes would roll back in their head and they'd catch, and then they'd wake back up. And you'd just be like, man, just take a nap. Just go to sleep. It would be so much better for you. The fourth commandment is the God of the universe looking at humanity and saying, guys, just take a nap. Just breathe for a moment. And he puts it in the top 10. That means it's important to him. I want you to just imagine for a moment, what if it was important to you? Just imagine, again, I'm not saying you got to do it, but just imagine that you knew once a week there was 24 hours set aside. And according to the God of the universe, you didn't have permission to work. It was prohibited. Instead, he gives you permission to rest and to restore and to do things you enjoy and to spend time with the people you enjoy. And I know what some of you are saying. You're like, man, this is a series on busyness. You think I got 24 hours a week to rest? I don't have time for that. And I understand you feel like I fell that way too when I first tried to actually think about how I could integrate this into a 2025 context. And very early on, here's what I felt the Holy Spirit say, and what I think he would say to you. What we would want to say, I'm too busy to rest. Here's what I think he would say back. Flip that, because you're actually too busy not to rest. So he's not just the God of the universe, he's our creator. And he created each one of us with specific gifts and strengths and talents and abilities that he didn't give anyone else. And he gave us that specific design because he had plans for us. Plans to use us in his story of reconciling humanity to himself. And that means that there is a role he asks us to play with our friends and our family and our neighbors and our coworkers. There's a role he has us to play if we're married with our spouse. There's a role no one else can play. If you have children, that's a role no one else can play, being their mom or being their dad. If you are a child, no one else can play the role of being a child and being a sibling and being a friend that you can play. If you call Wellspring home, no one else can play the role God has for you in this body, in this tiny little local expression of who he is. And these are critical roles. These are roles God wants to use not only to grow you, but to bless other people, to help other people find him. And those roles are critically important. And so what your king would look down and say is, no, I know you don't feel like it, but you're doing what you want to do. When it comes to the plans I have for your life, plans that are going to lead you to peace and joy and satisfaction and contentment in your soul. You need to be at your best for that. And the best you is a rested you. In fact, I think this is what God would say. We've been saying that he wants better than busy for our life. And what I think he's trying to teach us through this command on the Sabbath, if we want to walk in wisdom, here's a wise choice we can all make. Once a week, rest is best. We don't even have to debate it. We don't have to wonder about it. It is a command from the God of the universe to us. Once a week, we get permission to stop achieving and just be with the people we love, enjoying the God we love. And I know even as I say it, you're like, yeah, I hear all that. But dude, do you know my schedule? I just started a new business. We just had a new kid. Like, how on earth is this supposed to work? How am I supposed to fit 24 hours in of rest? And here's a really cool answer that I'm going to give you. You may not like it, but it's okay. I don't know how you're supposed to do that because I'm not God. He's the one who gave the command, and he's the one who will make it happen. But in my life, very rarely does God give me a command that feels above my capacity and then tell me in advance how he's going to bridge that gap. What God typically does is say, here's a step I want you to take, and I see a gap. And what I put into that gap now in my life is faith. All right, God, I don't understand how this is going to work, but I trust you. And so if you say this is best for me, I'm going to step. And typically in my life, it is only after I step and after I walk in obedience that I can turn around and say, that's how God did it. Oh, because that's what God's really trying to do in all of his commands and all of his interactions is grow our trust in him, grow our faith in him. In a lot of ways, applying the Sabbath in our life is very similar to the practice of tithing. And I know some of you, you just heard the word tithing and you're like, oh no, is this a money talk? It is not a money talk, so you can breathe. But for those of us in the room who, I'm a tither, for those of us in the room who are tithing, and if you don't know what tithing is, it's an ancient practice that was adopted in both the Old and the New Testaments as a way of reminding our hearts who provides everything we have. We believe everything we have comes from God. And so tithing is the practice of when you make money, when you have income, before you save it, before you spend it, before you pay taxes, before you do anything, you return a portion, the first 10%, back to God. It's a way of saying thank you. It's a way of obeying him. It's a way of showing you trust him. And I've heard your stories time and time again. You didn't know how tithing would work. It didn't make sense. And then you tried it. And I've read email after email after email. It says, Trey, I don't understand how it works, but God is blessing us in amazing ways. We have more with God's 90% than we ever had with our 100%. I hear that story over and over and over again. But you can't understand that until you have experienced that for yourself. See, I believe the same thing happens when we take God seriously about a Sabbath. When we take him seriously, when we receive his command that says, I am commanding you to cease. I'm commanding you to rest 24 hours a week. Because when we embrace that, what I've experienced in my life is we begin to discover the Sabbath acts as a weekly reboot for our lives and for our souls. You know, sometimes your laptop starts running a little sluggish. You got like 30 programs open and you don't know what to do. And it's just going slow and you hit a button and you wait and you hit a button and then the pinwheel starts happening and then you throw your laptop. And I'm just kidding. Don't throw your laptop. What do you do when it gets sluggish? What do we all do? What have we instinctively learned? We restart it, right? We reboot it. We don't know why, but we know something magic happens when we restart it. That's the Sabbath. I don't know why, except it's how God wired us. But when we receive his permission and take his gift of 6 days a week, I'm going to work, I'm going to worry about work, I'm going to strive for work, but once a week for 24 hours, I have permission to stop strategizing. I have permission to stop trying to solve the problem. I have permission to stop trying to figure it out, and I'm going to rest, and I'm going to enjoy my family, or I'm going to enjoy alone time, or I'm going to enjoy God. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to trust him with it. And here's what I am experiencing, because I've been implementing this for a while now in my life. Time after time after time, there are problems, there are strategies, there are things I can't solve going into my Sabbath. And I will put them aside. I will say, Jesus, this is your problem for 24 hours. I'll see you in a while. And after a breathing room, after some Sabbath, after some rest, those problems that seem giant, those strategies that seemed unworkable, coming out of Sabbath, I'm refreshed, I'm renewed. 9 times out of 10, it's like, oh, well, this is what we ought to do. Because God knows when we give ourselves an opportunity to breathe, to rest, our brains relax, our nervous system calms down. Not to get too technical, but we're able to get back into the healthiest portion of our brains, the prefrontal cortex. We're able to be present. And things just start to make sense. Because God created us for this. He knows us. And he knows what we need. So I'm going to challenge you to try it. If you don't already, to try implementing a Sabbath 24 hours a week in your life. And I know even that brings up a lot of questions. I know we have many different people who have different types of work, different types of careers. You may be on call for longer than 7 days at a time. You may work in the medical field or in the emergency services, or you might be a realtor, or you could be a parent. Yeah. I'm not sure if you've noticed, infants don't take a Sabbath. I don't really think it would work when your infant or your toddler is screaming to look at her and say, baby, I'm so sorry. Mommy's on her Sabbath for 6 more hours. So that's not practical. So the question we have to wrestle with is, okay, this was a command given thousands and thousands of years ago. What does it look like in a 2025 context? How do we actually do this? And I think our answer to that question, at least for me, really comes down to our view of God. And if you view God as this old, frustrated, angry man in the sky who just likes coming up with rules to make us dance, and when we step out of bounds, he wants to zap us with a lightning bolt, then you're probably not going to have a great experience with the Sabbath, but you probably don't have a great experience with God. You probably would even say, that's why I don't believe in God. And to you, I will join you. I don't believe in that God either. Because that God's not real. The God I believe in is overwhelmingly kind and loving and generous and gracious and forgiving and accommodating. The God I believe in loved us so much that he sent his son essentially on a suicide mission so that he could lay down his life for us. And during his 3-year ministry, Jesus actually addressed the issue of Sabbath, because the religious leaders at the time didn't like Jesus. They didn't like that he was kind and generous and loving and accommodating. They wanted him to be a little meaner about it. And so one day, it's a Sabbath, they catch his disciples doing something and they accuse him of something. Here's how it's recorded for us. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat, which was perfectly acceptable, perfectly allowed. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Now, you may wonder, how did harvesting grain on the Sabbath turn into a law? It's a great question. Turns out, keep the Sabbath holy wasn't enough. And so over a couple thousand years, Jewish tradition created 39 categories of things you couldn't do during the Sabbath. And one of them was to harvest. But what Jesus is going to point out in a minute, and what the heart of this actually is that these Pharisees basically weren't using and receiving God's law the way he wrote it, which was as a gift to protect us and something to keep us safe. They were using God's law as a measuring stick. That's why they created categories. Because if there's 39 categories for what not to do on the Sabbath, that meant at the end of every Sabbath, there was 39 checkboxes that they could check to show that they had achieved. And there were 39 checkboxes that they could use to measure against someone else. And if you only kept 37 of the 39, guess what? I'm better than you. And that's kind of what it had evolved into by this point. And Jesus is saying, whoa, you guys have missed it. That's not the point at all. And in fact, he answers them by taking them back to the Old Testament. We don't have time for that. But I want to show you the resolution. Because they're so angry. You're breaking these little, tiny, specific requirements of the Sabbath. How could you do that? And Jesus responds, and do not miss this. Because it is so clarifying. Especially if any part of you believes in that other God I was talking about earlier. That God who's up there just making crazy rules and hoping to catch us doing something wrong. Jesus turns that on his head. Here's what he says. He says the Sabbath, this gift of ceasing, was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Here's what that means. This is a gift for you to enjoy. This is meant to be a blessing, not a burden. You can apply that to every command he's ever given. It's meant to be a blessing, not a burden. And it started as a blessing. When he gave the Ten Commandments through a man named Moses, Moses had just rescued the nation of Israel from captivity in Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land. And if you don't know this, it's okay. They had been in captivity and in slavery in Egypt for over 400 years. Which means they had no generational memory of rest. They didn't have great, great, great grandparents who even could talk about back when we used to rest. For 400 years, they had been working machines. They had been performing machines. They had been achieving machines. And so when God begins building his nation, before he tells them don't kill people, before he tells them don't lie, before he tells them don't steal, he says we gotta correct your rhythm of work and rest. So I'm commanding you. It is not negotiable. One day a week, stop. You have permission to breathe. And I believe in 2025, in a world that thinks rest is weakness, in a world that measures everything by achievement and performance, there's no command more relevant than our King of Kings saying, hey, that's not the best way. You do not have to compete and keep up. I'm in charge. I have great things for your life. And so I'm begging you, take a break. Trust me with it. And this command is to meet your needs, not to fulfill my requirements. Which means 24 hours a week, one day is the goal. But if your career or your season doesn't fit that, you can have Sabbath afternoons, you can have Sabbath mornings, you can create little pockets of time where you give yourself permission to breathe and not work, and it can just add it up to 24 hours a week. Because this is for you. This is what you need. This is to bless you. This is to help you. It's not something that God's up there going, it was only 23 hours, they're going to be in trouble this week. Oh, we're going to get, that's two check marks. They didn't make it 25. That's not who our God is. He looks at us and he says, I love you too much to let you to continue running at the pace you're running. That's why I made it a command. I'm curious. Christ followers in the room, people who love Jesus, people who would never dream of murdering, when you think bad things in your head, you feel guilty about it. You'd never dream of stealing. Even when you tell a little white lie, you can't breathe until you confess it. And that's good. We should want to strive to obey. But I'm curious, how many of you have ever felt guilty for breaking the fourth commandment? It's never crossed our mind, right? It's because we have an enemy who's really good at his job. And that's why our king had to command it. And so in that light, I want to just give us a couple of practical principles. If you want to start trying this in your life, and I encourage you to, it's changing mine, and I believe it will change yours. Because when we take God up on this, when we anchor our week around this, it gets much easier to understand what everything else fits, what needs to go and what needs to stay. So with that said, let me just tell you, Sabbath should be a priority. Again, it's a command. So it should be very, very important to us. And because it's a priority, Sabbath should be planned. Oh, these are all going to start with a P, by the way. My Southern Baptist roots are showing. And so Sabbath should be planned. What I mean by that, especially at the beginning, put it on your calendar. Make it an appointment. That way, when people ask you to do things, you can say, I've already got something else on my calendar. And if they really press, just say, look, God told me to do something, and I put it on my calendar. They will not ask any follow-up questions. But it should be a priority. It should be planned. And this is important. Sabbath should be prepared. Okay, there are a lot of instructions in our Old Testament about what to do on the day before the Sabbath. They were commanded to do 2 days' worth of chores on the day before. They were commanded to make 2 days' worth of meals on the day before. The Sabbath is not a license for carelessness. I think of it like, think of the last time you were going on a trip. Maybe you're going to leave your home for an extended period of time. Remember the few days leading up to that? How you're doing all these things. You're trying to get the house ready. You're trying to get work ready. And you're trying to get it to the point where you can stop. And so most of us, we get this real great level of clarity in that moment because it becomes really clear what has to get done before we leave and what can wait till we get back, right? So most people are so super proficient right before they go on vacation because they're trying to get everything done. Sabbath is God's way of making that a weekly practice. Weekly, we build our lives around work, 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 work. Now we're going to prepare to rest, prepare to rest, and we get to breathe. It's almost like a mini vacation every single week. Where we just absolutely have permission not to perform, not to try to strive. So it's got to be prepared for. And then Sabbath should be practiced. We have to walk in this. It is only in the walking, it is only in the doing that we experience the blessing. It also, Sabbath should be protected. This is important. This is not something that you let many other things override. In fact, last one, Sabbath should be skipped on purpose. Remember, we're not made to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. It's not like we're going to get in trouble. It's a gift. And it's a gift that's meant to meet our needs. But sometimes in some seasons, things will come up. But skip it on purpose. Skip it in consultation with your king. Don't skip it because you think skipping it is better, because that's taking control from him and putting it back where it's always been. Now, if you're happy with the way things are, keep control. But if you'd like more breathing room, if you'd like more rest, if you'd like more satisfaction in your souls, may I introduce you to the King of Kings, the one who looks at us and says with everything he can, I love you too much to allow you to keep running at the pace you're running, because it's not helpful to you, it's not healthy for your family, and it's not setting you up for the plans he has for your life. In my life, my wife and I, we typically try to take this period of time from like 5 or 6 o'clock on Thursday evening through 5 or 6 o'clock Friday evening. Thursday afternoon, we put everything, we're done with work. This is much easier now that our kids are older. We didn't do this when they were young. That's probably part of the problem. But as we've gotten older, we've brought this into our lives. And so by 5 or 6 o'clock, our kids are settled, they're fed. And man, they know we're out. I mean, emergencies, of course, if they need us, but it's like we're not running errands, we're not picking you up from places. My last one's about to drive, amen. No more of that. And then we just enjoy. We'll hang out, we'll read books. Sometimes she reads and I watch a movie I want to watch. We go to bed early. Friday morning, every other week, I have a Bible study. I go to that as part of my Sabbath. When I don't, we hang out. We go to the beach. We enjoy our house. We enjoy our backyard. Here's what we don't do. We don't work. We don't talk about work. We only parent when we have to. And we don't talk about, like, tough parenting decisions in this moment. We don't talk about home work. We don't talk about chores at the house. We don't talk about when's the plumber coming, when's the AC guy coming. We don't do that. We cease. We use this amazing invention on our phones called Do Not Disturb, and it blocks people from being able to get in, except for emergencies. We have the right numbers. I promise we're not reckless. But it gives us this 24 hours a week that we can look forward to. And what I've discovered is I can work harder in 6 days than I ever did in 7 because I have a day of rest coming. And I don't even have to feel like I earned it or deserve it. That's what most of us don't rest, because we feel like we have to earn rest, which is why I think our King says, you don't have to earn it. It's a command. I am telling you, you must do this. And look, you're free to practice this however you want, but I know sometimes you people want some suggestions. And so as I was praying about this, if I just was to suggest like what I think would be a good time for you to start trying, I would say somewhere around Saturday afternoon. You could start your Sabbath and end it Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, wherever you want, because that would give you Saturday morning to get up. If you have housework, you have chores to do, you can get the house ready. And then whenever you want to start your Sabbath, you can just breathe and enjoy yourself. Saturday night, you can have fun, do whatever you want to do. Sunday morning, you can get up, come to church. It's a great thing to do on your Sabbath. If you play a role here, you get to serve, and God fills you up by you seeing him using you to change lives around the world. Sunday afternoon, you get out, you can go to the beach, enjoy lunch, and then Sunday afternoon, evening, whenever that 24 hours is over, you feel rested. Okay, now it's time to get ready to attack Monday. Again, you're free to try this however you want. But what I'm begging is that you will at least consider it and that you will at least try it. Because our King couldn't be clearer that he wants better than busy for our life. And when it comes to the Sabbath, again, couldn't be clearer that once a week, rest is best. Not because you've earned it and not because you deserve it, but because your King says you can't live without it. And he's the one who created you. And he's the one who designed you. And he's the one who has great plans for your life. And so maybe, just maybe, he knows what he's talking about. And so as we wrap up, as we come to our time of response, our prayer team will be down front. But I just want to give you space to first receive this gift of rest. Let it fall into your souls. Rest is not something I have to earn. It's something my King guarantees. And as that settles, ask him to give you some clarity on how can you put the Sabbath in your life? And how might that rhythm of rest help clarify the other 6 days? I don't know how it will, but I know it does. And so I want to pray. And as we sing, I just pray that God fills you with his love, that you receive his gift of care, and you receive his gift of rest. And that you walk out of here ready to make Sabbath a weekly rhythm in your life. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. And God, we're just so, so grateful for your son. And we are so thankful for your gift, your command to rest. Your command to stop striving, to stop performing, and to let you take care of us and restore us and refill us. Father, I pray we receive that gift, and I pray we walk out of here confident to walk in it this week. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's respond.